It is so important to submit to the Holy Spirit, whatever He's leading us to do. Let's pray. Lord, we need some bread. You're the bread of life. I have nothing to offer anybody. I pray for bread, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And how do we do that? By faith, right? When we worship, we step in by faith, right? When we come to church, we get in our car, start driving by faith, right? Hopefully, it's not religion or tradition, but it's by faith. We're coming. We have an expectation from God, and God will bless it, right? God blesses this. He wants this. This is good. And we're in God's plan. And there's no better place than to be in God's plan. And so that's what the message is going to be about, God's plan. But before I get there, convention, I assume that the pastors from Turkey will be there if you want to meet them. There's pastor from Istanbul and Izmir. They were in Warsaw. Awesome men of God. They're actually father and son. And you guys heard the song. When I did the review, when I went to Romania, there was a song with Turkish people singing it. It was beautiful, beautiful people. And there's so many portions in Warsaw, but in Baltimore too. And like we have that in this church, right? There's so many portions. But like when you go to something like this and you meet missionaries, that their life is sold out for God, you will be blessed. You'll be blessed. And I just encourage you. And if anybody wants to go, I know a couple people that probably want to go and they need rides. So just let me know. And you don't have to go for the whole thing. And it's free. You can register online. You can just go for a day or something. Go up. I would recommend stay at night because it's a long drive. And but you'll be blessed. Blessed. So let's see here. How's this working? Here we go. Anybody remember last week's message? But God. That's like the story of our life, right? You know? But God. My feet were in the miry clay and He set me up on the rock, right? But God did these things for us. But God. And He talked about the story of the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace, and there was a fourth one in there with them. But God did that. And I really like Romans 5:8, and here's another one he quoted. I really like Psalm 76:26. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and portion forever. He talked about David and Abraham and on and on and on and on. Right? He could have gone through the whole Bible. I mean, that's but God. You know, there was nothing but God created the heavens and the earth, So yeah, how about the week before that? Remember that? Just let God love you. Don't put the cart before the horse. Yeah. So this week I'm going to speak about Exodus 14:10-18. But before I get to that, I'll just give a little background to that. Got to kind of have the background. And I was talking to Maria and Evelyn a little bit about some of the background in the car as well on our way up here. But, the Israelites, they ended up being slaves in Egypt for 400 years. Slaves, bondage. And God called Moses to lead them out. And there were 10 plagues. Plagues came, and each time a plague came, Pharaoh was like, okay, I'll let you go, and then changed his mind. And there was a final plague. The 10th plague was the Passover. And an angel of death was going to come and kill the firstborn in every house. And God told him to put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost and the lintel of their house. And the ones that believed and did it, the angel of death passed over their house. The ones who didn't, they might have a 7-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 2-year-old. The 7-year-old would die. And their animals, firstborn in every household. And so the Israelites were like in despair, distraught. They're like, we've had enough. Get them out of here. They even gave them things, their jewelry and gold and silver, and they left. They left. And it was nothing short of a miracle, right? A miracle. They left bondage of Pharaoh for 400 years. And it was because of the blood. So when they left, it says there were 600,000 men. And a lot of people estimate with women and children, it would be about 2 million people. And that's a lot of people leaving. And they came to the Red Sea. That's a lot of people. I wanted a picture with a lot of people, so I got that old one. But they came to the Red Sea. That looks like a pretty nice place, doesn't it? The Red Sea. It looks like a pretty nice place. And they went and they camped. So they had all this stuff. They had all this livestock. They had just been set free from slavery, and now they're having a camp by the sea. It's beautiful, wonderful. They probably glorified God. And camp by the sea, so peaceful. And then we get to the passage, Exodus 14:10. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were probably way off in the distance coming, but I found this picture. And they said, so they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. So they were trapped. They were trapped. They have the Egyptians and Pharaoh's army coming, and they have the Red Sea, and there was nowhere to go. There's nowhere to go. Anybody ever been in a place like that? It seems like there's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to go. You're trapped. And there they are. And but at the same time, they couldn't go forward. They couldn't go back. But they were still in the plan of God. Right? So even though you're trapped, doesn't mean you're not in the plan of God. And they cried. They were very afraid and cried out to the Lord. And then, when God didn't answer them right away the way they wanted, they they blamed it on Moses. And then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, you've taken us away to die in the wilderness. And so they basically said, I know why this happened. I know why this happened. Bad things are happening to me. Fill in the blank. Because God's against me. Or the leader is against me. My dad's against me. My mom's against me. Or I know why this happened. Adam said to God, she did it, you know. This is why it happened. Right? So they blame Moses. They blame Moses. And but first they cried to the Lord. Didn't get an answer. So then they used their logic. They rationalized. Now I know why. Logic. When God had already told them the plan, right? They knew God's plan. And so we need help because God is not saying that to us. God did not bring us here to die, you know, in that sense. Now the application, maybe physically he did bring us here to die. Application, maybe our flesh needs to die. But spiritually, he didn't bring us here to die. There's life. There's life. And so application, but Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love God. Just let God love you, and you can love God. And so that's not the voice of God, because you know, you already know God's plan. He's for you, right? God is for you. Here's his plan for you. And this is not why it's happening to you. Oops, wrong one. Why have you so dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? Why have you led us into trouble? So first they said this to Moses, right? And so then sometimes we'll say it to our husband or our leader or our wife or our church. We'll say, why did Culpeper Christian Fellowship do this? Why did Greater Grace do this? Why did the First Baptist Church of Orlando, Florida do this? It's their fault, right? It's got to be the church's fault. So now, and we meet people like this all the time, I'm never going to church because the church wanted to crush me. And maybe God had a plan that was different, and you didn't stay in it. And ultimately, we say to God, God, why did you do this? Why did you, weren't there enough graves out there in Egypt? You led me out here to die? And so this self-talk against God, and it's against God, it's against what he's doing, and it's not good. But like with this, we can look at them and say, yeah, they shouldn't be saying that, right? But we know the story. They didn't know the story. They look, they see the Red Sea, they see the Egyptian army. What else are they going to do? Like, we know the story. They didn't know that. And, you know, that's how walking by faith is. Oftentimes, we don't see the whole picture. We don't know the story, but God knows the story. And God has a plan. There's no better place than to be in God's plan. And then verse 12, is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? Can you believe that? They said, don't free us from slavery. Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. And in this analogy, Egypt is the world, right? They left the world. And for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die. Oh, really? Be better to be a slave. And that's their gospel. People have their own gospel. Serve the Egyptians. They just make it up. This is what I want God to be like. I'll make it up. I want to serve the Egyptians. It's better. Better than walking with God to serve the Egyptians? No. Leave me alone. I'm going back to the world. I meet countless people that say that. I've tried church. I got hurt. I'm going back to the world. And even though they actually know God, some of them actually know God. And they're bitter. They let a root of bitterness spring up inside. It says, be careful not to do that, right? So like when we see that in our own heart, we need to be like, eh, no. I heard something this morning. It was about thinking and our thoughts like we're the gatekeeper. It's like being a gatekeeper. Like we're not letting that thought in. But we'll let all things are for our sakes. And for 2 Corinthians 4, we'll let that in. Right? But don't let crazy thoughts in. That it's better to do something else than be in the plan of God. And so, the gospel is not leave us alone in Egypt. What is the gospel? Romans 1:16, it's the power of God. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. And some people, they talk, but they deny the power of God. I don't want to live in the plan of God, right? They talk, but they deny there's actual power there. There's the power of God. Verse 13, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. He probably wasn't saying it real quiet, though, because there's a mass of people, and they're all yelling. He probably had to yell it really loud, and then they told other people, what did he say? What did he? And they're yelling it. They didn't have microphones, and they're still noisy for a while. Don't be afraid. Stand still. And the noise might be going on in your brain, and it's not still. But be still and don't fear. And there's something going on here that's huge, that's bigger than your situation, that's bigger than your life. You're between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army. How could you say that? Well, by faith. Moses was speaking to the people by faith. Stand still. Stop it, be quiet, listen, and you'll see the salvation. And Moses probably had some doubts. He probably wasn't 100%. He was probably 90 or whatever. You can't quantify it. But by faith, he told the people this, right? How could he tell the people this when he saw the Red Sea here and he saw Pharaoh's army there and he didn't know? Because he knew he was, if it was God's plan for him to die, it's God's plan to die. I'll just be in God's plan, right? That's what he knew. We'll just be in God's plan. We'll just die. And see the salvation of the Lord, and this word is Yahweh, which he will accomplish for you today. And I heard somebody talking about this verse, Psalm 3, 2 to 3. It says, many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God, Selah, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. Right? So, but in this verse, it says, many are they say to me, there is no help for him in God, which is Elohim, which is like the common word for God. Like, they would talk about foreign gods with that word, God, God. And it's a very great word for God. But then he says, but you, O Lord, Yahweh, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. And this Yahweh is self-existent or eternal Jehovah, the Jewish national God. It's like they're very personal to them. Jesus is going to save us, right? He's our Savior. He's our God. And so this is the word, and see the salvation of the Lord Yahweh. Anybody ever heard a song about that? My glory and the lifter of my head? How's it go, David? My glory and the lifter of my head. My glory and the lifter of my head. For thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. My glory and the lifter of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. And he heard me from his holy hill. My glory and the lifter of my head. Yeah, yeah, that's it. I'm surprised there's somebody else that knows that. I thought my grandparents' old church was the only one that sang those songs. But, you know, it's amazing, like something like that. He is. He lifts our head. But be still. The Egyptians are coming. But it's out of your control. Why not trust God? So if you don't trust God and you stay afraid, do you have any more control? No. Why not trust God? Like Peter said, where else can we go? You have the words of eternal life. Like, this is freaky. Jews do not eat flesh and drink blood. You know, I don't know what you're talking about. I really don't. But there's nowhere else I can go. You're my Savior. You're the Messiah. And in your trials, do you have somewhere else to go other than the plan of God? No. There's nowhere else to go. I mean, you know, Jesus has the words of eternal life. But in a way, we're trapped. And there's no choice to make. Like, the love of Christ compels me. It leaves me no other choice. But, I mean, I have a choice. I could go live with the world. But, like, we know that that's not good. That's, like, disastrous. Like, why not just stay in God's plan? And we already made a choice. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I put the blood on the lintel and the doorpost. We made a choice and left Egypt. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. I was scratching my head at that. And then I thought, wow, that's the finished work in the Old Testament. You know, you're never going to see him again forever. Like, this represents the world. Of course we're going to see him again, always, every day. But actually, in the new man, we don't ever see him. As long as we walk by faith, we never see the world. You know, it's just not in us. We're in it, but we're not of it. So, yeah. So everybody, turn to your neighbor and say, do not be afraid, stand still. This is a good one to memorize. The Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. The Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. And he said it by faith, because he saw what they saw. He saw the Red Sea and he saw the Egyptian army. And he tells them, the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. And when will he fight for you? Like there's no way out. Like, when's he going to do this? You know, they're still coming. We're staying. You want us to be still, and they're still coming. And hold my peace. This word, hold your peace, here's some other translations of it. Be still, be quiet, keep your mouth shut, just stay calm, keep silent, and just be quiet. So you have an angry mass, and Moses is trying to get him to be quiet. He's probably yelling at the top of his lungs, shut up! You know, like he's saying to him, be quiet now. You know, God will fight for you. What did he say? He said, be quiet, God will fight you. And finally the mass calms down. And then the Lord said, this is Moses saying them. Then the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Now, every place it says in the Bible, they cried out to the Lord. He just answers them. You cry out to the Lord and he answers you. Because you're humble, you're broken, you get to the point. But in this point, Jesus is saying, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. And this, another translation of go forward is to break camp. Break camp, saints. Break camp. Go forward. Get up. We don't know what we're doing, but get up. Get all your stuff together. We don't know if we're going that way or this way, but God's going to do something. We don't know what he's going to do. And so why is God saying, why do you cry to me? Maybe he's saying, stop whining. You know, we had a saying in our family whenever we'd go on road trips, especially, there's a family rule. The rule is no whining. Especially when they're little, you know. Every once in a while, I still bring up that rule. And they bring up the rule with me, too, sometimes, you know. We had a rule that you had to, you couldn't eat before you said the blessing, or else you had to go to your room and count to 10 and come back. And I kept having to go count to 10 so much, I changed the rule. But anyway, I literally would. They'd be like, I caught you. Go count to 10. And I'd do it. I'd go count to 10. And then finally I was like, you know what? You're more thankful if you taste it. You know, it's like, but only a taste. But anyway, but no whining. Whining, you know, and anybody ever have God tell you that? Stop whining. You know, like, and it has to do with our heart too, right? Or even further, he was talking to God, like he was crying to God. He was praying. Like, stop praying. What? Well, stop praying that way. It probably wasn't a religious posture either. Sometimes he might tell you to stop praying in a religious posture, but it was a whining posture probably, you know? So, yeah. And you know the story, you know, don't pray for the rescue and let the boat and the helicopter pass by, you know. He didn't see any boat or helicopter. What's wrong with still praying, you know? God had told him he's taking him out, and he's in God's plan. So I was thinking of this. Like, sometimes we think this is how it should be. Like, when he's whining and God says, or he's crying to God, God says, stop. In a way, he was saying, man up. You know, put your spiritual big boy pants on and stand in the plan of God. And stop thinking about the fear, about how you're going to control the masses or what they're going to do. Just do what I told you to tell them to be still. You do that. Be still, right? Be still. And anybody ever think, like, okay, if I were a missionary, then I would fast and pray 25 hours a day, and things would happen, right, if I were a missionary, right? But I'm not, so I don't do that, you know. Well, actually, like, you're walking before God now. Like, if you're going to walk before God now, you'd do the same thing if you were a missionary or whatever you were. Like, just walk before God. Like, man up and walk before God. Don't talk about how it should be done. Move along. Get moving. What about him? What about him? John 21:22. What is that to you? You follow me, right? Isn't that what Jesus says? You follow me. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Follow God. And if you want a revival, go forward by faith. Be the first one to be quiet, right? Go forward by faith. Get serious with God yourself and repent. The Lord will fight for you. And get on board with what God's doing. The Lord will fight for you. Be in his plan. And all of us can be not hearing, not living in faith, not moving in what God's doing. And even Moses. And the best thing in this life is to find out what God's doing and stay in it and get in it. And verse 16, but lift up your rod. Now, this is the authority of God, not the world, right? So Egypt had rods too, right? Remember the magicians? Pharaoh had magicians. They threw their rods down. Moses threw his rod down, became a serpent. The magicians, they had rods too, representing authority. They threw their rods down, they became serpents. But it ain't the deep magic of God, you know? Like in Aslan, he's the deep magic, you know? It's deeper. It's way deeper. And Moses' serpent ate theirs, and Moses picked the rod back up. So Moses has the authority of God, and we have the authority of God. But only the authority of God. Like, we can't go around casting out demons God doesn't tell us to cast out, right? Or go looking for them. It's like, be led by the Spirit. Be led by what God tells you to do. And the world's rods, I was thinking, one of the world's rods is rules. Like Daniel. You know, they made a bunch of rules. You can't pray. Here's some COVID rules, too, on top of that. You know, whatever. The world has rules. Rules and power to try to control. Or, like, running the corporate rat race or something, and you know how to manipulate. You know how to use people. You know how to whatever, you know. Or rationalize. But God's authority is not our own authority. Or the world's authority. God's authority involves standing still and being quiet when he says to, and lifting our rod when he says to. That's God's authority. Like, sometimes he tells us to do one thing, and sometimes he tells us to do another, and we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And he told him to lift your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it in the midst of this problem that was insurmountable. And, like, what if God hadn't told him to do that? What if God's plan was for him to lift his rod the other way and part the Egyptians and go around the other way? And he had tried to do that. They would all drown, right? You know, but it was God's plan. It was God's plan, for sure. And they crossed on dry ground, it says. In verse 12, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And then the Egyptians tried to follow. And so I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and his horsemen. This is verse 18. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. And then there's going to be a day like in the millennial reign when they know when he comes back as king, they're going to know, you know. And but right now, there's a quietness and a standing still. And that the power of God is manifest in that too. And so the Red Sea parted. What were the Egyptians thinking? They weren't. Like, duh. Like, you think it's going to stay like that till we go through? Like, they had never seen any special effect. They had been playing video games or movies. Like, this had to be very real to them. And they were absolutely consumed and crazy and hard hearts, right, to go into this situation. God had parted the Red Sea for them, and they're going to go in there? Absolutely crazy. But, you know, like, in a way, like, a lot of times the battle is in our mind, right? And, like, these psychic enemies can be swallowed up by the voice of God. We follow God, and they go right into there. And God just swallows them up. We say, enemies, it's over. I don't believe you. I don't believe those thoughts, those negative thoughts. I don't follow you anymore. I'm going forward with God. And there's nothing better than a human being that's stuck in the mud who becomes a worshiper. Right? And Moses, in a way, was stuck in the mud, and he became a worshiper. And so Exodus 15:1-18, we'll just say verse 2. He sang a song. Moses sang this long song. Verse 2, the Lord is my strength and song. The Lord is my song. He's my strength, and he's my song. Like, he parted the Red Sea. He crushed the Egyptians. He's my strength, and now I worship him. It's like he's my song. Verse 3, the Lord is a man of war. He fights for me. And in verse 11, do you know that song, David? Who is like unto you, O Lord among the gods? Who is like unto you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Who is like unto you? And then the song of Miriam. Miriam. And not your song, Miriam, but Miriam. Exodus 15:20. Then Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he has thrown into the sea. That's another song, but I don't remember it. You remember that one? Go ahead. I am gloriously riding to the sea. Yeah. Okay, Margaret, where's your tambourine? Come on. So, and then a very common quote in the Old Testament. It's often connected with obeying God and having no other God. And I think there's one about like forsaking, I think it's false prophets or witches or something like that. But it's connected with obeying God and a lot of verses on it. And it's, I am the God who brought you out of Egypt. This is something to remember, right? He's our Savior. He's our Savior. He saved us. And so that's the message. Just stay in the plan of God and watch. He will save us. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for today. Pray that we can just recognize your plan, follow your plan, step out in faith. Lift our rod when you tell us to. Be quiet when you tell us to. And walk with you, Lord, and have a song and a testimony like Moses and Miriam and to say that he's the one who brought us out of Egypt. And not be like the ones who made a golden calf and said that the golden calf's the one that brought him out of Egypt, but to remember who you are, Lord. We want to remember you. If there's anyone here today who has never experienced the salvation of God, you can apply the blood to your doorposts and lintel now. Just call on the name of the Lord. Just call on him. Believe in him that Jesus died for you to pay for your sins and shed his blood on the cross. That's his provision for you. Just receive that for your life. In Jesus' name, amen.